Isaac,
yeah.
You taped this last week, right? Did anybody have speakers? We could attach it to Isaac's phone. We could play what I said last week. We could just listen to it. I think I'd like to hear it. I feel like maybe I was excited about what I said last week. I was connected, and maybe I forgot the main point. I feel like I bought into it, and then maybe struggled to remember it. Whoa. Sa'adeni v'ivashea. Ani ma'amin. I lost my train of thought. I don't care anymore. I'm just saying. Wow. In all seriousness, I feel very much that sometimes Chazara is underrated, and sometimes, you know, we think, oh, you said it, you need to say something new and fancy, different, exciting. I can't think straight with you doing that in front of me. I can't focus on my life. Does anybody have a spoon, for God's sakes, in this place? I'll give half of my Olam Haba for a normal spoon right now. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay. There's an opportunity. Ah, friends, there's like a crunchy chocolate thing here. I'm not eating it. I appreciate though. There's a crunchy chocolate brownie bar underneath. And a blondie bar, and there's all sorts of situation on top. I'll be honest with you. Everybody has things. Everybody has different things. For me, I'm always like food. I'm a fresher. Always had a thing for food. Not doesn't mean I have less of other taivas. All of the other ones that everybody else has, but like, also, so like I'm sitting here trying to like, I came in here saying we're gonna fabring, we're gonna sit together, talk about real things, And I came and I see this hot apple pie over here with that granola crunch on top. And then there's a cherry pie, which is also a very weak place for me. It's a weak space. No, I'm serious. You know, and there's and this thing in front of me here. It's very hard for me to feel like I'm to say anything else in avoda right now. Anything in this coffee right now, because all I could think about is like, I wish there was no one else here. And I could just... And I could sit and like read something and sit in my underwear and eat some... a lot of... and drink regular soda, Barks, root beer. No, I'm serious. And do it in a way that I, you know, could just escape from whatever visceral pain you feel when you think for a second about anything real. When we pause for a second and just are aware for half a second just how majnun, how dafuk, how broken the world is, how broken the reality that we're living in. That. So I have to say that like that 20-30 seconds when I walked in here and saw all those good chevres sitting around was like a real exciting, it was a great distraction from that. And then look, the cherry pie and the apple pie and this situation that just came out here, which I highly recommend someone move out of the way, otherwise I'm going to keep talking about it. You know, it's a good distraction. It's okay. But the reason why I'm thinking maybe we should just listen to what I said last week is because anybody remember we were talking about Reb Zusha? About having Reb Zusha's understanding of the world of perspective? The way to stop the bleeding? You buy that? Does anybody believe that? Anybody believe that? I'm asking now, seriously. Anybody here believe that story last week? Huh? I know. Anybody believe it? Does anybody feel that? The baby is bleeding to death at the bris. The baby was bleeding to death at the bris. The mother was crying. The father had all but given up hope. Zeta was saying to Hillam, people were desperate. The baby was bleeding to death. And Reb Zusha says, wash your hands. Wash your hands and eat something. Because David HaMelech tells us, Sa'adeni v'Ivashaya. Tarach Lefanai Shulchan Neged Tzorai. These are stories, these are anecdotes. It's a nice Rishner anecdote. You know? Tarach Lefanai Shulchan set up a table with hot apple pie and ice cream with a brownie underneath it. Neged Tzorai, against our sonim, against our enemies. And that is going to be meaningful. And that's going to affect some real change in the world. Do we believe that? I said it last week, and it made for a good hour. Yeah? But was anybody there at all during the week? Is anybody there? If I'm not there, if we're not there, it's because we're not asking Hashem enough to help us be there. These stories of tzaddikim that we hear, or that we say, or that we read, are not just like a good way to start a shiur or end a shiur or pass an evening, you know, or, you know, it's not just like entertainment or edutainment. It's not just something to inspire us and make us feel good for that moment. They're instructive. They're instructive. When we say ma'ase avos simen labanim, when we tell... said that story last week at Reb Zusha, said at the end that we have to daven, that the action point was to ask Hashem in our own words, please help me be in that mindset, be in that way of living, to know and to believe that I can affect. There was a guy here last week. Did anybody see Ron Lehman came last week? There's a guy who's wearing a fluorescent orange running shirt last week. Did you see that? He was wearing a fluorescent orange kippah. Very cool glasses, a fluorescent orange shirt, fluorescent socks that had a peace sign on it, and shoes, black Skechers that matched that. His underwear also matched it. He lives in Tucson, Arizona. His son is Yaakov Lehman. Anybody know Yaakov Lehman? You know Yaakov Lehman, one of the great world travelers. He biked across Ethiopia, he studied Mandarin Chinese in Amsterdam, learned with the Amishnavas Gabai. You know, he was everywhere. Yaakov Lehman, really one of the special Jews. So his dad was here for a day. He was blown away. He was in love with Hask. He called me this morning. He FaceTimed me. Right, it was 9 o'clock over here, and it was 6 a.m. in Tucson, Arizona. The phone goes on the FaceTime, and you know, you ever get FaceTime? The sound comes on before the image comes on, right? So I'm looking at it, and I'm hearing heavy breathing, panting. It was like disturbing almost, but I saw it was Ron Lehman. I'm like, okay, all right, you know. And it goes on in Tucson, Arizona. And the picture came on, and it was a dog. It was his dog. It was some kind of weird-looking poodle. And he's like, Rabbi! My rabbi! Okay? It's a dog, right? Ron! What's up, brother? What's happening? He's like, from Tucson! Love from Tucson! My soul brother from Tucson. Okay, we got through that. And I never get enough of that. And he said, I have to ask you a serious question. Are you somewhere where I can ask you a serious question? I said, sure. He said, What should I do? What should I do to unseat the evil empire of Hamas in the world? What can I do to topple the evil reign of Hamas in Israel? What should I do? What should I do? Here? This is an open, growing, vibrant Jew on a journey. The man who's in his 50s, he's younger than all of us. And he's wearing fluorescent socks, running shirt, headgear, sneakers, and underwear that have the same theme, fluorescently. He rotates them. This Jew is alive. This is a person who's alive, right? He goes 6 miles every day in Tucson down the boardwalk, and he used to do that. He used to stop for a hot dog. Now he stops up to Chabad there to lay tefillin. That's what he does. Okay? He doesn't have tefillin. He wants to be able to go and do it with the rabbi there. Okay? So he said, what do I do? What do I do for Hamas? What do you answer? What do you say? What do you say? What do you tell this Jew? In China, what do you tell him? Love them. Huh? Loving what?
No, he didn't answer.
No, I'm asking you for advice. What do we tell him? Love. What do you tell him? What? Say tell him. What else? That's okay. There's not a wrong answer. I mean, what do you tell him?
Learn
Torah. Okay. What do you tell him? The Makabal Nasis. Go to his own fight. Okay. Go to his own fight. Judah, what do you tell him? What do you say to the guy? Sadeh Yivashah. Sadeh Yivashah. Eat something. Have some apple pie. I'm saying, have a hot. I'm saying, eat apple pie. I'm saying, I can tell them. Okay. What do you tell him? Stop. Everybody feel like you feel confident in these answers, friends? Are these like answers that you feel confident in? I'm not sensing such oomph in these answers here. You know? You answer it like you ask a girl where she goes to seminary and she answers you Madrashat. And why? Do you or do you not go there? Davin? Say Tehillim? Learn? What do we do? It's a good question. Anybody? I assume that everyone here is thinking about that in some way or not. Like, we established that we're Jewish men. We have a heart. We're human beings. We have a heart. We're alive, right? We spoke about this last night a little bit. You have a fleshiger heart. We thought about it today. Levayas all day in Eretz Israel. 3 p.m., 5 p.m., 7 p.m. Three in a row in Herzl. That's what's happening in the Jewish world today. That's what's going on. That's your news update from Israel. That's all I know. I didn't read any articles. I haven't read an article in a week. That's all I know. That's all I know. I don't have it. I don't have the ability to know more. I can't. But what do you? So what do you answer him? What do I tell? What do I answer myself? Am I thoroughly convinced that sitting here eating 1, 2, 3, 4, five trays of freshly baked hot pie and cold fresh homemade ice cream, that's this is an appropriate thing to do? Is this normal? Are you convinced? Because if not, then what are we doing here? If not, then this is a little bit off, don't you think? No? I don't have an answer here. I don't have a script here, friends. If we don't believe it, then what are we doing? We're saying Tehillim, and we're saying Shachas Mincha Marv ostensibly, and we're maybe doing it with a little more oomph than we were before, perhaps. And love, Vachani, I saw what you did on field day. You have some oomph to you. You're a leader. You're a person who takes Achrayas. You have a lot of in you. Love, maybe. I'm not taking myself out of this equation here. I don't, you know. So the answer maybe is I just don't know. I don't know, Ron. As I said to him, I really, really don't know. But he was speedwalking in Tucson. He's like, I can't hear you out there. And it's FaceTime. He's holding the thing like this as he's walking. I'm like, put the phone next to your ear. And I said, I don't know. I don't know what to do. I really don't know. You know, I'm like kind of shooting arrows to the wind here, like, you know. We sat last week with Chaverim and talked about Avos Yisrael and ate together and we fabrek. We did. And I said extra to Helen, I'm doing that also, you know. I'm trying to add more time to my day in learning. I'm struggling to find extra minutes. I'm trying to judge people favorably. I'm trying to do all these things. And the love and the et cetera, and all these like very convincing ideas that everybody felt very strongly about here. But I have to tell you, I'm having a hard time feeling like it's hitting the mark. You know? So I don't have that's the vart, you know. I told you we should have just played it. We should just play that story from last week. I said it really well. But it's hard. It's hard to get it. It's hard to make it happen when there's just levaya after levaya after levaya after levaya. It's hard. I don't know. And unless we're thoroughly convinced that this is neged sora rai, that this movement of sitting here together in this room is actually something which is connected to what the collective of the Jewish people are going through, then I don't really think that we have such a right, or I don't know how appropriate this is. Anybody disagree? Anybody feel that at all? Then I just don't know how appropriate it is. And this is just another distraction. And I'm not interested in being distracted. I don't want to be. I don't want to be. I just want to scream. I want to scream and I want to throw things sometimes. I want to just lay down on the floor and I don't know. I don't know. Here's a good question he had, though. This is the most innocent 50-something-year-old man I've ever met in my life. There's nothing about him that's not just earnest. Anybody know what you met, Ron? You said it? There's nothing about him that's just not good. He just walks around and he's like, man, this is a beautiful thing. Beautiful thing. He stood outside the gate and looked at that beautiful sign that Avi designed, and He had tears in his eyes, and he said, this is a mantra. This is something I can get behind. He didn't even walk in the gate here, and he was like, man, I am blessed to be in the presence of this space. That's how he was talking. He gave me his socks, his fluorescent socks. I was wearing fluorescent socks here. last week. He gave me his fluorescent socks. He washed them in the sink that night, brought them to me at 6 o'clock the next morning, knocked the door. I thought it was Shimmy Suss, but it wasn't. It was him, and he gave me socks. And he gave my wife socks, and he ordered my wife socks with a peace sign on it with a quote from Jimi Hendrix on the bottom of it. And I think it's something I have to remember. When people believe, what is it? People, something about, until the power of love is greater than love of power, and the world will know peace. And the power of love is greater than love of power, and the world will know peace. And he gave it to my wife. And he said, "You are a woman who manifests love and peace in every step." I'm like, the heck away from my wife. I'm the only person who could say that to her, and I don't. I said that to her later, she laughed in my face. But he wanted to know, in all honesty, he called at 6 in the morning from Tucson, Arizona today, and he said, "Tell me what I can do. You're my rabbi. Tell me, what can I do to topple this reign of evil? What can I do to counteract Hamas in the world?" What are you telling him? What are you answering? He, there was no cynicism. He really wanted to know. He's like, "Should I go to Israel?" "Should I go to Israel?" I'm sitting there literally, "Yeah." I said, "Yeah." I said, "Yeah." He's like, "Okay, what am I doing when I get there? Is there an organization that I could work with, that I could volunteer with? Like, can I help the soldiers? Can I help the people? Should I be visiting the wounded? Should I be visiting the sick? Should I be raising money here? Tell me what I should do." Right? "Give it to me." You know? So, like, and friends, I'm not trying to be harsh with everybody here. I'm feeling the same way. I have the same feelings. What do you say? You have something? Because this is what's on our mind. This is what's on our mind. We're doing our job, and everyone's doing holy work and busy. We all are. But we do have private time. We do have recreation time. This is our free time now. We're sitting here. You came here tonight for a reason. I'm not convinced that it was for the pie, because there's a lot of pie left here. I'm serious. If I were in a zone right now, if you weren't here, and I was in my underwear with a good book, there'd be devastation taking place. I'd be setting, I'm telling you, 2 pant sizes in a night I could do. So I want to share this. I really think that deep down inside we know that we don't know. We know that we don't really have a good answer. We know we don't really have I don't have the answer. I don't know. And that's why in Tisha B'Av we just sit there on the floor, like, just, you know, when we really let ourselves feel it. On Tisha B'Av, when we really stop and we let ourselves feel it, and we just kind of sit there and like, I don't know. Echa this and echa that, and what the heck this, and how did it happen, and how could it be, and what? That's really true. That's really honest. And on Purim, when we just, you know, in that zone on Purim, and you just get to that place on Purim, which is the other day of the year that I most relate to being myself, and just, you get to that place where you're just like, I don't know. I don't know either. And when we really get behind our mask, and we get out of our world of distraction, and we kind of really let ourselves be ourselves, and we have to stop faking that we really get it and we know it, and that we're down, and that we're on the team of people who chop, and when we can put down the script for a minute and stop reading our part that we think our part is supposed to be, like Tehillim, like learning, loving each other more. Taroch Lafanai Shulchan Meged Sorai. Like, all this really convincing. Like, should I go to Israel? Like, to fight? Like, should I raise money? Like, all these very convincing answers that we all had here just now, that we're all kind of in the same boat, and those who didn't answer didn't want to say something that would maybe sound stupid or unconvincing also. It's really because, bottom line is, we don't know. I don't know. We don't know. We just don't know. Said at the first Shabbos when we were here all together, I don't know. We don't know. That in our core, in our essence, in the bottom line, we do not know. And there's a lot of drushes out there in the world. And I haven't read the articles. I haven't read an article this week. I tried for a week. I'm just not going to read articles for a week. Not because I'm not connected, because I am connected. But you're hearing the stories that are coming out of Eretz Yisrael right now of what's being revealed. I spoke to a chaver last night. I spoke to a friend last night. I was in a chabura with for a long time. And he shared, like, incredible stories. Incredible information that's coming out. It's almost like somehow in the upper worlds, Hashem said they need to sell some more of these like Touched by a Story, Magid type books, so we're going to like turn the wheels of Hashkach in such a way that they caught these 15 Hamas terrorists, Yimach Shemam V'Zichram, and all of their families, and they found them, and in these massive tunnels of terror that are found underneath the ground, you saw pictures of what these look like. Wolf Blitzer from CNN broadcast a show from inside these tunnels. It's a world. They've been building them for years. Since the destruction of Gush Katif, they've been building these tunnels. They're worlds. Tunnels are wider than this room. You can fit vehicles, cars through there. And if they're lit and they're full worlds on the ground. And some of these tunnels reach kilometers. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Feel me? Anybody with me?
Yeah.
And they reach tens of kilometers. They go from Gaza, which, by the way, was where Yitzchak Avinu was. It's a part of Eretz Yisrael. From Gaza, all the way under the ground, into Jewish kibbutzim and yeshuvim and moshavim. They found them. They went tens of kilometers into under the dining room and kibbutzim and shuls and schools. And these operatives who were caught, and this is in every newspaper in Eretz Yisrael, there's in the Jerusalem Post, it's out there. This is what's being written about now. This is what's going on in the world. And I have a dear friend who actually lives in Mevaseret, and his next door neighbor happens to be someone who works in Modi'in, works in intelligence. And he asked him, when he saw his friend going out of his apartment, he said, "Are any of these stories true?" He said, "Which ones?" He said, "I know you can't tell me too much, just tell me. Are these maisim true about the tunnels, the plans, Rosh Hashanah?" The guy said, "Whatever is out there in the world going around scratches the surface of what's real. Scratches the surface. The maisim that their plans were that they found in these tunnels, rope and knockout pills, and injections, and ether to knock people out, and rope, and dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of Tzahal uniforms, and yarmulkes, and tzitzis, and dozens of Israeli army uniforms. Do you realize how many terrorists being killed now in Israeli uniforms? They're infiltrating into the state. What they found there? They plans for a massive attack. Anybody know what I'm talking about? A massive attack on Rosh Hashanah, Tov Shanayin, Hei Chas Chalila. That was going to be include thousands of terrorists in all of these tunnels, infiltrating at the same time in a coordinated attack on Rosh Hashanah, when more people are off and the defenses are down because we're being Mamluch Hashem and Shul, to infiltrate through these tunnels with the goal of taking hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of captives, men, women, and children, with ropes and handcuffs and chains and pills and sprays and chemicals to knock people out and take people in a massive coordinated attack all over. On Rosh Hashanah, this coming Rosh Hashanah. And it came out that the terrorists, Yimach Shemam, who took the boys, who took them in Gush Etzion, were a break off from Hamas and they broke off from Hamas. And that internally, Hamas were against such an operation because it would create a reaction of searching and potentially interfering with and upsetting these murderous intentions and plans. You understand? And I spoke to someone who lives in Nofi Alon. Spoke with the Frankels. And without saying anything that's official, not quoting anything, these families understand very, very much that the death of their children, the murder of their children, that their children were karbanos for something which is much bigger than they will ever know. and much bigger than we can ever understand. We can't wrap our heads around. Because had that not taken place, I mean, there's no causation. We don't believe in that. As the Lubavitcher Rebbe said in response to statements from the Satmar Rav and Rav Shach regarding the Holocaust and why it happened and why it didn't happen, we don't surmise to know and suppose to know Das Elyon, Hashem's ways. We can react to Hashem's ways. We don't know why things happen. He used harsher language than that, but I'll suffice to leave it at that. We don't know causation, correlation. We don't put together. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I really don't. We don't. None of us know. But that this Jew who spends his life in intelligence said that you know, the difference between what happens in Lebanon and what happens in Gaza is that in Lebanon we have operatives there. In Lebanon we have, Urbina mentioned it also, Motzei Shabbos. And in Lebanon there's decades long, Jews who've infiltrated. Decades long, from Eli Cohen already. Hashem Yikom Damo. Decades and decades and decades of systems of informants and spies and Jews within. And in Gaza there's none, and in Hamas there's not that. So this Arusa de la Eila, in such a way, in such a mind-boggling way, an absolutely ununderstandable, completely outside of our ability to express how unfathomable it is, Eicha-level way, these events are unfolding. And I don't know causation, but perhaps there's correlation, because everything is connected in the world. So I just want to try to make you feel better. We went around the table here and asked you, and I don't mean to make you feel stupid. It really wasn't the intention. But what do we do? Tefillah? Tehillim? Learning? Midrash hat? I don't know. That's okay. It's okay to not know. Listen, we have my Sa'ava Sim Labanim, Ribbono Shel Olam, and Chazal have set up for us. You know, we have Das Torah. We have instructions. We have Eitzah of Tzadikim, and we have instructions from Chazal of what we do when there's a difficult time. Chev arranged a beautiful night to sing together. We say Tehillim together. We add Limud HaTorah. We're more careful with the way we treat each other. Vavas Yisrael. We add Tzedakah, Tshuva, Tefillah, Mavirnas Ro Hagzera. That's what we do. That's what we do, right? We know. So how can everybody answer with a question mark? How can we didn't say it with oomph? The answer is the same reason why we walked in here tonight. I felt like a schmuck walking in here right now with hot apple pie. But all of us do is sit and eat it. Because I can't sit with apple pie right now because of what Levi is. But if I really believed that really good chug we had last week, and it was good last week, no? It's chazak. Said well last week. It was good last week. No, there was fire in here last week. The singing last week was fire. It was beautiful in here. If I really believed what I was saying last week, then I would know Taruch Afanai Shulchan Neged Sir. I would know it. And you would not answer it to Hillel. You wouldn't answer Torah. You would say Torah, Tefillah, Tshuva, Tzedakah, Mavirnas Ro Hagzeira. You'd say I'm Chazik in Avos Yisrael. I would have answered Ron Lieben this morning on the phone when he said, what do I do to topple Hamas? What do I do, Rabbi? I would have said, serve God with joy. Learn Torah, daven, do something deeper, do something more. Should I go to Israel? I'm like, yeah, okay, go to Israel. You heard me on the phone, you were there. Yeah. And he's like, what do I do in Israel? What should I do? Right? You know, an organization where I can go help the IDF. So I'm like, yeah, I do. I'll set you up with one. In other words, We know how we know so clearly, friends. Shouldn't we know so well that we don't know? And that's okay, because that's preparing ourselves to read Eicha. That's preparing ourselves to read Eicha, to sit and read Eicha like a Jew reads Eicha. Say, I don't know. I do not know. I don't know what Hashem's plan is. I don't know why things happen. I don't know. But what I do know is that there is something that I can do about it. I can do something about it. I could be mechazik myself in Avos Yisrael, and I could look at my friends with a little more compassion. And I can give tzedakah. I can give tzedakah because tzedakah is tatzel mimavas. and I could learn more Torah and a little bit more Torah, and say that I'm doing this now because I don't want my life to be the same today as it was, you know, last week, 2 weeks ago. I'm not going to listen to, I'm going to do something more than I normally would, or different than I normally would. You know that in relationships, when a husband and wife are married, so, you know, we're one, you're on the same, you're not on the same team, you are the team. And you eat together, and you sleep together, and you spend time together, and you balance a checkbook together, and you share, and you're together. The goal is to be one. But there are times in that relationship where that oneness is expressed in different ways. Sometimes you sleep next to each other in the bed, and sometimes the beds are a little separate. Sometimes you can hold hands, and sometimes you can hug it out, and sometimes you can't. That's taras mishpacha. That's the way a relationship works. And the times of physical distance are times where there's the opportunity to create the most intense emotional connection. It's ironic. There are words that, there are feelings that need to be expressed that are hard to express. And some of those times are the most difficult times. And maybe you're young, and maybe this is out of line to share. But some of those times are very painful. When a baby is born, it's the most beautiful simcha in the entire world. You know that? There's nothing more miraculous. It's an awesome, life-changing revelation at Sinai, creation of the world, arrival of Mashiach moment in a man's personal life, and I'm blessing all of you. The right time, the right one, should fill the world with beautiful, healthy children. Amen. Jewish children. Take anything for granted these days. I have a friend who goes to Puerto Rico. I have a friend who goes to Puerto Rico 2 times a year. Okay? I visit his son in Puerto Rico. I do. I have a friend who goes to Puerto Rico 4 times a year. Just have Jewish, healthy, beautiful children. And you can't imagine that power of that closeness and the simcha and the love that comes out between a husband and wife in those moments. It's mamish out of this world. And you can't, she becomes... She's in a state of nida when she gives birth to that child, and there's not that closeness, that dvikus, that ecstatic, awesome, beyond boundary, outside of proportion, indescribable love does not manifest itself. Forget sexually; it doesn't manifest itself in physical touch. You understand that? Back to the awkward engaged pictures, holding the baby like this in the middle. You understand? Hashem's way of imposing the reality of closeness and distance in this world is different than the way that we might think it should be. Because we don't know. Hashem knows. And lo aleinu should know from it. A woman suffers a miscarriage. It enters into a state of nida as well. And the great pain and disappointment and hurt that a couple go through is very hard to explain. And the way Hashem knows better than us is that we don't give a hug at that moment. And there's no time in the world that you would think that a husband and wife should be holding each other's hand more than at that moment. And that's the way Hashem says at that moment. That's not the way to express it. Tehillim, learning, Avos Yisrael. Because deep down inside we know, we really know that we don't know. And Tisha B'Av is that headquarters of not knowing. Purim is the Tisha B'Av. Purim and Tisha B'Av are just both expressions of the same not knowing and not understanding. That Hashem has a plan and it looks like it's going one way and then turns around the other way. In Purim we know the end of the story is beautiful because that's what happens. And in Tisha B'Av we're in the middle of the story and we're waiting for it to turn around. And it's the same Ad Lo Yada Eicha moment of... And it's okay to be in that place. That's appropriate to be there now. You know? That's where we are right now. So yes, Torah. Yes, Tefillah. Yes. And yes. Tarach Lefanei Shulchan Neged Sarah. Yes. Yes. Eat something. Tochal Mashu. You know what the Rebbe says? time where he said the most painful thing that another, any, well, the, well, opened up the pathway for one of the, for really being able to listen. Open up my heart to be able to really listen, to hear what another person saying. He shared something with me that was hurtful. It was very hurtful. It was out of love, but it was a surgical movement. It was hurtful when he told me something. He shared something with me. It just kind of like made me realize something about myself. And I sat there and I felt like I got hit by a truck. And he pushed a plate of pretzels in front of my eyes. He said, "Tochal mashu." I just wanted to throw up. He said, "Tochal mashu, shelo nochal at halev," so you don't eat your heart out. Tochal mashu. We sit together over here, tochal mashu. It's okay, eat something. Eat something, shelo nochal at halev, eat something. Eat something because to stop the bleeding, Rabbi Yisrael says, to stop the bleeding, you have to wash the bris. Sa'adeni v'ivasheya. Because it's true, these stories from these tzaddikim are not little fictional, they're not maisla. They're ways that they're histakos on life. Okay? And I know that story is true. It's true. It's real. It's the 14th animah. The emun in the Or HaTzadik, it's real. V'yaminu b'Hashem v'Moshe Avdo. I believe it. I know it. I know it. And that's why you're here tonight. That's why we came tonight. And that's why we have pie. And we're going to eat pie. Eat the pie. Eat the pie. Eat the pie. First of all, it goes back to Mrs. Gelb. And there's too much pie left. It's going to create other problems. In the world. You're not bringing it back to Mrs. Gelb. Okay, so this is the Hakdama to the story I want to share tonight. This is the Hakdama. But before we tell a story, the way we do it, before we share a story that we know is not just like an anecdote, and it's not just a little bit of an insight, and it's not just a good way to pass the time meaningfully, we want to try that. I want to already ask Hashem now that we should open up our hearts to know that these stories and these ideas are as much as the stories of Avram Avinu going from his home and going with his son up to the mountain, and Yaakov dreaming, and Yosef in the pit, are instructive and divine, and emes lamita, and the way we have to live our lives. So I want to ask. Let's spend a few minutes together here and daven together, and sing a little bit together, just to open ourselves up. So I can just share a quick story, and it'd be something that penetrates me a little bit more than the mice of Reb Zusha last week. I've been eating my heart out all week. I'm eating my heart out all week. I sit down to supper and I look at it and I say, "I don't want to eat right now." I didn't believe it enough. I'm still answering Dylan, Torah, daven. Sorry, John. I mean that. What? Yeah, nothing to say because we don't know exactly. So I want to ask Hashem that just that we don't know, and that it's okay. Hashem should help us that we know that we don't know, but that we also know that that there is something for us to do. Okay, there is something for us to do. So again, okay, we'll try it again now. Okay, now it's time with a little bit more oomph. Okay, Neil's here to give us a little oomph. Da 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 ma ya 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 hi da 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 ma ya ya da 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 ma ya 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 da 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 ma ya 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 da 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 ma ya ya da 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 ya ya da 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 Oh,
Yeah.
great Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov was Reb Zev Wolf Kitzis. Reb Zev Wolf was the Jew on Yom Neroim, Rosh Hashanah, and I want you to know today I because of this ma'isa that I told you before, I need to share this with you. Because of the ma'isa I told you before that I heard from my confirmed from a chaver last night, whose neighbor is a full time, meaning a ranking person. I mean, he's a ranking person in Modi'in. Because of that ma'isa about this Rosh Hashanah, the tunnels in Rosh Hashanah, and the plans to take hundreds and hundreds of Jewish men, women, and children through these tunnels on Rosh Hashanah. So today, today was the day I made Hachanas Rosh Hashanah. I did arrange this Rosh Hashanah today. Today I booked a flight, a tentative flight for Uman. I called the person who does the reservations, and I made reservations, and I sent email with information to a few people. The thing I was hacking you yesterday about Rosh Hashanah for, I'm making Moshe Burke crazy about Rosh Hashanah coming to it. Because the Rosh Hashanah Dick of time, we're in the night, we're before Tisha B'Av. It's like, anybody listen to carefully to Shlomo's to what was happening after the Yom Kippur War and Yisrael B'tach B'Hashem and visiting soldiers, watching videos today of musicians and people in Israel visiting soldiers in the hospital. Unbelievable. It's a Rosh Hashanah Dekamud today. And then I learned Mishnayos and Rosh Hashanah this morning. I was thinking about Rosh Hashanah. That's why we're singing Avinu Malkeinu in El Melech. We're being Mamlech Hashem Rosh Hashanah. Their plans were to undo Malchus Hashem and Rosh Hashanah. You understand? We have to be Mamlech. We're being Mamlech Hashem. We're being Mamlech Hashem. Whatever their plans are, we are Mamlech Hashem. So I have to share this ma'isa about Reb Zev Wolf. Reb Zev Wolf was the one who would read, who was the makri in the Baal Shem Tov's Beis Medrash. You know the makri is? Kriya, Shvarim, whatever the guy in your shul, however he says it, you know? The makri, he was the one in the Baal Shem Tov's Beis Medrash, and it was with Kavanos Ha'ari, it was with the deepest intentions. He's buried next to the Baal Shem Tov in Mezhbuz. Zev Wolf was on fire for Eretz Yisrael. Desperately wanted to get to Eretz Yisrael. And I was thinking about this all day. All day I was thinking about this. From last night, I got off the phone with my friend at about 2:30 in the morning last night. He was telling me all these things. And at night, I woke up a few times, and this morning, it's been in my mind all day. Zev Wolf was crazy for Eretz Yisrael, and he was Rosh Hashanah the Kiyid. The whole year was spent preparing for Tekiyas and Rosh Hashanah. I think saying anything about Reb Zev Wolf and the Baal Tekeya, who was crazy for Eretz Yisrael, I think this is being Mamlech Hashem. Being Mamlech Hashem is saying, say whatever they want, what their plans are. We don't know, but Hashem knows that our intention, every Jew's intention, is to be Mamlech Hashem. So Reb Zev Wolf Kitzis was crazy for Eretz Yisrael, and he wanted to be the one. He collected money, he saved pruta al pruta for years and years and years, and they lived in abject poverty in Mezhbuz. They had nothing. They didn't have nothing. Potatoes. He saved pruta al pruta in order to be able to go. And he prepared himself for years. For years he prepared himself to be able to get there. Finally, he was going to be the first of the Kehillah, the first of the Tzibor in Mezhbuz, the first of the Baal Shem Tov's Chevraya to actually go to the land of Israel. It's not like today. Now, like you ask around, who hasn't been to Israel? Like, you know, most people have been. Baruch Hashem. We're living in a Messianic era. We're living in an era of absolute miracles. Jewish people are able to go to Eretz Yisrael. But then, no one had gone. No one had ever seen what Cave of Rachel was. They never touched the wall. They'd never been to the Kotel. They know La Olam Lazaza Shechina Mekotam Rabbah. Maybe there was somebody had a wooden carving, you know, of like what the wall might have looked like. But there was no one who had been there. They didn't even know anyone who had been there. And he decided he's going to be the one. He saved and saved and saved until finally he had enough money to go. And it was a real journey. It took months. And he went to his Rebbe, went to the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh to, like, you know, get his itinerary, you know, get some hadracha. To, like, you know, what am I doing when I go there? Where am I going? What am I thinking about when I'm here? What am I connecting to when I'm there? When I go to Chevron, like, what's my headspace, you know? You go through Simcha Achbam to Chevron before you walk in, and Simcha says, before you walk in, you know, you're walking with the Avos, you're walking with the Imams. If we go to Kever Rachel, anybody who's been with us within Kever Rachel, we stop outside of Kever Rachel. We're on the side of the road with Rachel and Meinu, meaning, there's a go. There's like walk into a place. And this is Eretz Yisrael. This is 200 years ago, a Jew, first one that anyone knew going. And all he wanted to find out from Baal Shem Tov was, like, what am I going to think when I get to Tveria? When I get to Meiron, like, how am I not going to drop dead from excitement by Meiron? And he went to the Baal Shem Tov, like, before his major journey, waiting for, like, some big hadracha, some etza, you know? Baal Shem Tov sat with him, closed his eyes. He sat in absolute dveikus with him, and he didn't say a word. They sat together for a while. And it was coming time that Reb Zev Wolf really had to go, because he had to get to leave. His Rebbe looked at him and said, the main thing when you go to Eretz Yisrael, someone asks you something, just take it seriously. Reb Zev was looking at him like, no, tell me something about what am I thinking about, what kavana do I have when I go to Har Zeisim, to daven by the Or HaChaim. Like, what do I do? I go to the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, I just passed away. I'm going to go there to the Or HaChaim. Like, what am I doing? I know you received the Masorah from the Or HaChaim across the world. Like, he's looking for, give me something good here that I can do, right? Let's take it seriously. Okay, whatever. Okay, Rebbe, you know. Went home, put on his Shabbos clothing. His family escorted him out on the donkey to the wagon. From the wagon to the little village, from the little village to the big village to the city, and we finally got in a bigger wagon and went to the port, and then took a boat, and the boat stopped in Odessa, and then from Odessa went to Turkey, across the Abyssinia, and then we finally get there. I mean, months and months and months and months and months and months of a journey to get to Eretz Yisrael. I mean, months and months and months to get to Eretz Yisrael. And he gets there, and he gets the holy wall, to Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh. You're probably young the first time you went to Yerushalayim, you know? Probably young. I don't remember the first time you went to the old city. You remember the time you went to the old city? You came from home, remember? Remember, like, your heart beat differently, you know? Meaning, it's overwhelming.
It beats differently every chapter.
Huh?
It beats differently every chapter.
There's something like that. You know, he came there, and he went around, and he kept a journal of where he saw in Tzfas by the Ari HaKadosh, and when he experienced Meiron by Rashbi, and what happened when he walked in Chevron, and when he walked in Tzorov and Eshtaol, and when he went to these places that were Torah, the Hashem was everywhere, right? Every stone is just Torah's alive. And it was amazing, and it was uplifting, and it blew his mind. He was saturated with a holiness that he couldn't have fathomed. He spent his whole life preparing, and he couldn't have even imagined. And after his few weeks in Eretz Yisrael, took leave of the Tepesker and of the Tzaddikim who were there, and he got back on the boat near Akko, began the journey back to Mezhebuz, just like overflowing with experience. Along the way, they stopped off at different ports, you know, to refuel or to get new supplies and, you know, to get food, whatever it is, to clean off the boat, whatever it is. And it turned out that they landed in a place, and it was a Friday morning, literally Erev Shabbos. They were going to be landing at this port, you know, just a couple hours before Shabbos. And he really didn't know what to do, because he had supplies with him, a couple little, you know, his little challahs, little matzahs, and a little, like, you know, smoked fish that was stored up in order to have for Shabbos. But he's going to this strange place, doesn't know anybody there. Who knows? God knows what type of place in somewhere in Turkey they're going to stop there on the coast there in a random place. What's he going to do? And he said, you know, can I stay on the boat? I said, no, everyone has to go to the boat. We're disinfecting, we're cleaning out, whatever. So he's a little bit like, took his talus, you know, even though it was mamish, a couple hours before Shabbos, there was talis, and he took his little, took his smoked fish, he took his two little matzahs, a couple little matzahs, and he got off the boat, and they said, you know, on nightfall, Saturday night, we're going to do this, you know, we're going to turn around in the day, everybody do what you have to do, we're going to clean the boat out, you know, we're pulling out of here at nightfall. He said, oh, okay, Motzei Shabbos, we're pulling out, good, that's easier for me, I don't have to get on a boat, fine. And he goes to this port, and he's walking around there, and everybody's hustling and bustling, and people are going out to go do their business, and go to the marketplace, and, you know, these people are going out to all these places, and he doesn't know what to do. He doesn't have a place to be for Shabbos, and until he spots in this group, there's this older Jew, long beard, a Hasidic-looking yid, a special-looking person, who kind of like someone from across the way. And he approached this Reb Zev, and he said to Reb Zev Wolf, he said to him, Shalom Aleichem Aviv. He said, ah, Aleichem Shalom. He said, where are you for Shabbos? He said, I don't really have a place to go. He said, would you like to come with me for Shabbos? He said, sure, I would love to. That would be great. I would love to. But I'm leaving right after Shabbos. My boat is going to leave. You know? He said, no problem. Come with me for Shabbos. Stay with me. You'll have food, you know, a place to be, Shabbos together. So Reb Zev Wolf said, great, my lucky day. He's a beautiful-looking Jew, an Erecha-looking Yid. He got with him on. He went on his wagon. It's a class for Shabbos. He said, come, let's go to the mikveh. And Reb Zev Wolf says, wow, didn't expect them to go to the mikveh. They go to Tovel in this little brook. He said, come, let's go. Let's shir shirim. This is the forest here. And he said, shir shirim. He said, come, we'll take a little nap before him. We'll take a little nap. It's just like, wow, it's perfect. It's nailed it, you know? And he gets this Jew's house, and it's just the two of them. He lives in this little tiny place in the forest there. You know, some distance from the port, and there they're singing Shabbos like the Zmiros from another world, and Devar Torah, and they're sitting together, and it's beautiful. The next day, the same thing, they're davening together, they're learning this Vodos there, just the sense of Mamash being in the right place. Hashgacha, it was amazing. He felt so good, and he slept, he rested, it was like a good rest, and then with meal, Shalshudas, they're singing, and Dveikus, it's beautiful. And it's starting to get dark outside, so he's starting to, like, you know, he's got the itch a little bit, just because he has to get on his boat. You know, he missed the, you know, in the boat. There's only one boat sailing to where he has to get to. He's got to get there. The clock is ticking, and it's getting late. And he's starting to get a little nervous. He's, like, thinking, like, okay, how late are we going to go here? What's the end frame? It's like, you know, how long is we all going to go? Is it going to, like, you know, it's going to be an all-nighter? And he's sitting a little bit. And they're coming toward the end of Shabbos, and there's three stars out, and this person's still singing, and he's still on the stage, and he says, I'm sorry, I think, like, I kind of have to get back to the port. So, like, it's a mad rush. You ever fly out on a Motzei Shabbos? The Motzei Shabbos bug out, you have it? You said, better you fly with my father on a Motzei Shabbos? You know? Forget about it. It's like, you know, and it's like now it's already like a panic. Throws his stuff on the wagon, and the man's like coming out. He's coming out slowly, and this Reb Zev Wolf is now starting to freak because he's gonna miss his flight. He's gonna miss his boat, and the horses are going through the forest, and they make their way out of the forest down toward the port, and he sees the boat, the big Goyish guys in the dock, the portsmen, the seamen. Like undoing the rope, you know, the anchor, undoing the rope there. And they're about to like push off on the boat, and the horses pull up. And Imamish just thought, and he says, thank you so much, Shabbos was really great. And they said, wait, hold on, Rabbi, let me ask a question. Rabbi says, like, Imamish, I have to go, I'm running. They're leaving. He says, wait, just tell me one thing. How are the Yidlach, how are my children in the Ukraine? He said, in Ukraine, what? I said, we're fine, we're managing, Baruch Hashem, we're fine. Thank you for Shabbos. And he literally like threw his talus and like jumped off the dock onto the boat to grab on. And the seaman, the Goyish seaman, are laughing at him. He just made it on as the boat's pulling away. Starts beating 1,000 miles an hour. And he sees this Yid kind of like waving from the shoreline as they pull away. And he's like totally schwitzed out and blown out, wasted from that. Just can't believe they almost missed his boat. Crazy. Anyways. Days and days pass by. He gets back to the mainland, and the wagon from the big to the port to the big city. The wagon to the little city, another little city. till he gets home, literally having been away for more than half a year for this journey to Eretz Israel. And he gets back to Mezhebuz, and this is it. He's the man. He is the one. He has a journal full of Torahs and insight. He has an unbelievable amount of experience to share. And he runs, literally, runs, drops his stuff at home, and he runs to the Baal Shem Tov's Beis Medrash. He runs to the Baal Shem Tov's Beis Medrash. Everybody sees him, and it's like, hey, he's here, you know. What was it like? Everyone's wants to know, what was it, what happened, what'd you see, what'd you do, where'd you go, whatever it was like, blah, blah, blah. He just wants to go see the Rebbe. He just wants to go see his Baal Shem. He wants to go see the Baal Shem Tov. He's Reb Zev Wolf, the mockery of the Baal Shem Tov. He's the mockery of the Rosh Hashanah and Meshmiz. And he runs up to the Baal Shem Tov, and the Baal Shem Tov kind of turns away from him and goes to Ishtender. Reb Zev Wolf, like, whoa. Okay, oh, I didn't tovel. I didn't go to the mikveh. I'll go talk to my Rebbe before going to the mikveh. So the next day, he goes to the mikveh, and he comes in the morning, frischkeit, after davening. He's so excited he's going to go. People are all over him. He just wants to go talk to his Rebbe. He runs goes to the Baal Shem Tov, and he goes to Baal Shem Tov and he says, Rebbe, I want to show them. And the Baal Shem Tov sits down in his chair and looks into a sefer. Zev starting to get like, okay, getting blown off twice here from the Rebbe. He goes to his wife, I'm not sure what happened. What the deal is, maybe I'm not Roy. And he says, maybe I have to fast. Maybe I have to say Tehillim. Learning. Tehillim. He doesn't know what to do. He's not sure what to do. And this goes on a couple days. It's already Shabbos. Friday night, everyone goes Leil Shabbos to give Shalom to the Baal Shem Tov. And everyone's waiting in line to give Shalom to Baal Shem Tov. And it comes Reb Zev, you know, with the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael still on him. Still smell it on him. He walks by the Baal Shem Tov. Baal Shem Tov looks away. And Reb Zev just throws himself and he says, Rebbe, what? Why? Look at me. Why can't you look at me? Don't you want to know what it was by Kever Rachel? By Chevron, by the Avos, by Yerushalayim. I was in Yerushalayim. I was in Be'er Shel Miriam. I was in Tveri, Rebbe. I was by Rashbi. I went to the Ari HaKadosh in Tzfas, Rebbe. I want to tell you all about it. Why won't you look at me? Baal Shem Tov turned to him and with red eyes, tears in his eyes, he said, Zev, what did you do? He said, Rebbe, what do you mean? I don't understand. I don't get it. Rebbe, what did I do? I davened. I learned. I was everywhere. I went everywhere. I did everything. I davened in every place. He said, Zev, did you blow it? What did I tell you? The one thing I told you before you left. That if a Yid asks you a question, just take it seriously. Don't you understand? Don't you, that Jew you spent Shabbos, do you know what I had to do in order for you to be zocha to a gilui of Avram Avinu in this generation? Don't you realize that was Avram Avinu you spent Shabbos with? Who came down from the next world, from the higher worlds. And he wanted to know how my children, how my kinderlach doing in the Ukraine. And you were in such a rush, all you could do is tell them, we're managing, Baruch Hashem, we're fine. Reb Zev, we're starving, we don't have food to eat. There's people, children are eating potatoes. The machlokes with the Talmidei Agra. The conscription, stealing our children, taking them to be Cossacks. The pogroms, the starvation. Jews can't make a parnasa. The persecution, the anti-Semitism. We're managing, we're fine, Baruch Hashem. We're okay. Ay, Reb Zev. Observe, did you blow it? So again, I'm sorry to keep coming back to the apple pie. I have problems. I'm not well. I'm not well. It's like I feel like I'm on a mixed beach. I'm sorry. I can't think. I'm going crazy. This morning, I came out. You know, and I got, you know, morning. How you doing? Good morning. And I wanted to rip my hair out of my head and scream ad masa. I wanted to scream, I'm not fine, we're not managing, we're not okay. Things are very messed up right now. And I can't, it was 9 in the morning, which in Eretz Israel is 3 p.m. That was the first Levaya today in Har Herzl. And 5 o'clock was the second, and 7 o'clock was the third. And then Ron Lehman called. You guys are standing there. Ron Lehman called from Tucson and said,
Hey, Rabbi, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do to topple the evil regime? What can I do to fight Hamas? You know? Learning? Davening? More love? Cherry pie, apple pie, ice cream? Taruch upon a shulchan neged tzorai? Answer is, I don't know what the real answer is, but I also know that we're not fine. I know that we're not fine. We're not fine. We're not okay. We're not managing. Things are not okay. Not okay. I don't know what to do. And I don't know what to say. And you keep asking this Adalo Yada level of Eich all the time. I don't know. But I also know that the learning and the davening and the extra oomph in our Avodas Hashem and sitting together here as Chaverim, dedicating time to do something a little bit more, and a little bit more connected, and eating a little bit, shalono chal talev. I know that that's not a stira. I know that this is something very real. And if this wasn't something very real taking place, none of us would be here. None of us would be here. None of us would be here. We're here because we know that sitting together, eating a little bit, and singing, and trying to like think and talk together, that's meaningful passion. And we just have to keep doing what we know, like we just have to keep going back to it. But I also think we have to ask Hashem a little bit more to like help us know that what we're doing is important. So that when we ask, when we say Torah, Tefillah, Tehillim, like we could say it and mean it, believe it. Sometimes you don't have to feel it. You don't have to believe it, we just have to know it. You have to know it. The Nachman's Torahs begin over and over and over again with what word? Da. Know. Know it. Know it. Feel it. Okay? Sometimes yes, sometimes no. Do I buy it? Do I not buy it? Look at that. Da. Know. Know it. Know it. Know that I don't know. I much don't know. I have no idea. The dozens and dozens and dozens of Tzahal uniforms that they found, and the tzitzis that they found, and the yarmulkes that they found, and the chemicals to knock people out, and the ropes, and the handcuffs, and the chains, I don't know. I do not know. I do know that Rosh Hashanah is a day of being Mamlech Hashem. So today, we're being Mamlech Hashem right now, because the Kedusha of Rosh Hashanah, as the Kedusha of Yom Kippur, as the Kedusha of Purim, meaning these 9 days, the world order is upside down. The world order is upside down. The Elyonim are completely in a state of chaos. And without the base, the world is in a state of chaos. Do you understand? Chaos. Upside down. Levayis and Yerushalayim, it's completely upside down. But within all of that Adol Yada, drunken, crazy mess, and Echa sitting on the floor not knowing, one thing we know for sure, we know clearly, we know that we do not know. We know that we know that we do not know. And yet, we're all sitting here tonight, and we're doing something which is real, and we're doing something which is right. And we're going to learn more Torah. We're going to learn more Torah. We have to learn more Torah, and we're going to daven more, and we're deeper. Sometimes more is not, it's more about doing deeper, not more. With more oomph, and with more tzedakah, and with more compassion, and more love, and more kumzitzes like we had on Sunday night, and more dibul chaverim, and more wishing each other well, and more finding good in one another, and more mishnayos, and more Torah Shebal Peh. Yes, Torah Shebal Peh. Torah Shebal Peh. Chazal say that the gulls will end with the schos of Torah Shebal Peh. It's not the level of not knowing, the level of submitting to something which is beyond reasonable. So I'll just say like this. I hope that before you leave this room tonight, we're going to eat a little more pie and ice cream. Shalom achal talev. And maybe you should take a plate. Everyone should take a plate on the way out. And take a piece of pie or ice cream and bring it to someone else. Bring it to someone who's on Avdi. Bring it to a friend. Bring it to someone you don't know. Walk up to a person on the street and introduce yourself. And offer them a piece of pie, a piece of cake. Do something here. Take some action point to extend ourselves a little bit more. Maybe take it and go sit down in the base medrash for 5 minutes and learn a couple of mishnayos. take it and go to the base of the base medrash, take a piece of cake and say a couple of tehillim. Take it and go sit in the baseball field and talk to Hashem in your own words. Whatever. Shalom achal talev. Shalom achal talev. I think that in that way we'll bring nachas Hashem, we'll be mamlech Hashem in a very real way. Sorry that I dragged on a little tonight. I'm having a hard time trying to wrap my head around what's going on in the world, what's going on in our lives, collectively and personally. But I appreciate very, very much the opportunity to sit together with Chaverim. Sit together with Chaverim. I appreciate it very, very much. Hashem should help us that every Jew in the world should be able to sit down with a Chaverim and eat a piece of pie peacefully, safely, and then be able to have the opportunity to go learn Torah afterwards, to go talk to Hashem afterwards, to have the awareness to go talk to Hashem afterwards. And that time should be very, very soon. The time should be now.
Now we don't want to wait.
This is going to be called Mivtza Apple Pie. This is going to be a mission of delivering cake and apple pie to Chaverim. Okay?
Operation
Apple Pie. Okay?